Welcome to your GCSE Religious Studies Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving into one of the most fascinating and exam-rich topics on the WJEC specification, crime and punishment. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, this episode is going to give you everything you need. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. This topic sits within Unit 1, Theme 2, Issues of Good and Evil. It's worth knowing that Assessment Objective 1 and Assessment Objective 2 each carry 50% of the marks, which means you need to both know your content and be able to evaluate and argue with it. That balance is absolutely key. Let's begin with the core concepts. First up, what is the difference between a crime and a sin? This distinction is something examiners love to test, and many candidates lose marks by treating them as the same thing. A crime is a violation of state law, something society has decided is illegal, like theft or assault. A sin, on the other hand, is a violation of religious or moral law, something a religion considers to be wrong in the eyes of God. Now, these two can overlap. Murder is both a crime and a sin in most religious traditions, but they can also diverge. For example, some religious believers might consider eating certain foods to be sinful, but it isn't a crime. Equally, something might be legal but still considered sinful by a religious community. Always make this distinction clear when it's relevant in your answers. Now, let's talk about the four aims of punishment. These are the backbone of this topic, and you absolutely must know all four with precise definitions. The first aim is retribution. This means giving an offender a punishment that fits the crime. It's about justice and proportionality. The punishment should match the severity of the wrongdoing. This is not the same as revenge. Revenge is a personal, emotional response driven by anger. Retribution is a measured, proportional response by society. Examiners will deduct marks if you confuse these two. Think of retribution as the scales of justice, balanced and fair. The second aim is deterrence. This is about discouraging people from committing crimes in the first place, through the fear of punishment. There are two types: individual deterrence, which stops the offender from reoffending, and general deterrence, which sends a message to wider society. If people know the consequences are severe, the argument goes, they'll think twice before breaking the law. The third aim is reformation. This is the idea that punishment should help the offender change their behavior, rehabilitate, and become a productive member of society. Many religious traditions strongly support this aim, the idea that people can repent, be forgiven, and start again. Christianity in particular emphasizes the possibility of redemption. The parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15 is a powerful example of this. The son who went astray was welcomed back with open arms. The fourth aim is protection. This means keeping society safe by preventing the offender from causing further harm, often through imprisonment. It's the most immediate, practical justification for punishment. If someone is locked away, they can't commit more crimes. A great memory hook for these four aims is the acronym RDRP: retribution, deterrence, reformation, protection. Or you could use the phrase, really determined reformers protect. Whatever works for you. The key is that you can recall all four fluently under exam conditions. Now let's look at the types of punishment and how religious traditions respond to them. Prison is the most common form of punishment in the UK. From a religious perspective, views are mixed. Many Christians support prison if it includes opportunities for reformation and rehabilitation, programs that help offenders develop skills, receive counseling, and reconnect with their faith. The Prison Fellowship, a Christian charity, works actively in UK prisons for exactly this reason. Islam also supports the idea of justice being served, but emphasizes that even prisoners retain their human dignity. Judaism's concept of tzedek, meaning justice, supports proportional punishment, but also stresses the importance of treating all people with dignity. Corporal punishment, physical punishment such as caning or flogging, is a more controversial topic. It is not used in the UK, but it is practiced in some countries under Sharia law, such as Saudi Arabia. Some Muslims argue this is justified by the Quran and represents a clear, proportional deterrent. However, many Muslims and most Christians and humanists argue that corporal punishment is degrading, violates human dignity, and does nothing to reform the offender. The Catholic Church, for instance, emphasizes the sanctity of the human person and would generally oppose corporal punishment. Community service is widely supported across religious traditions as it combines elements of both reformation and making amends to society. It allows the offender to give something back, develop a sense of responsibility, and avoid the potentially damaging effects of imprisonment. Humanists particularly favor this approach as it is practical, forward-looking, and focused on social benefit rather than retribution. Now we come to the most controversial topic in this section, the death penalty, also known as capital punishment. This is a topic where you must show awareness of divergent views, even within the same religion. Let's go through the key perspectives. Christianity. There is no single Christian view. Some Christians, particularly those who take a more literalist approach to the Bible, point to the Old Testament, specifically Exodus 21 verse 24, the famous eye for an eye passage, and passages in Genesis 9 verse 6, which state, "Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed." These Christians might argue the death penalty is justified for the most serious crimes. However, many Christians, including the Catholic Church and most mainstream Protestant denominations, oppose the death penalty. They emphasize the sanctity of life, the possibility of reformation, and the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament. Matthew 18, verse 21 to 22, records Jesus telling Peter to forgive not 7 times, but 77 times, a message of radical, unlimited forgiveness. The phrase, "turn the other cheek" from Matthew 5, verse 39, is another powerful counterargument to capital punishment. The Quran does permit the death penalty for certain crimes, specifically murder and what are termed hudud offenses. However, Islamic law places extremely strict conditions on its application. There must be multiple reliable witnesses, the process must be scrupulously fair, and crucially, the family of the victim has the right to grant forgiveness or accept DO, blood money, as compensation instead. This means that in practice, the death penalty is rarely applied under classical Islamic jurisprudence. Many contemporary Muslim scholars and organizations argue for its abolition or severe restriction. Judaism. The Torah contains references to capital punishment, including for murder. However, the Talmud, the collection of rabbinical discussions and interpretations, set such high standards of evidence that it became almost impossible to apply in practice. The Talmud famously states that a Sanhedrin court that executes one person in 70 years is called destructive. Most modern Jewish communities and organizations, including the Reform and Conservative movements, oppose the death penalty. Humanism. Humanists reject the death penalty entirely. Their reasoning is based on reason and evidence rather than religious authority. They argue that the death penalty is irreversible. If someone is wrongly executed, that cannot be undone. They also point to evidence that it does not act as an effective deterrent. In the United States, states with the death penalty do not consistently have lower murder rates than those without it. Humanists also argue it is a violation of human rights and human dignity. Utilitarianism, a utilitarian approach, asks, what produces the greatest happiness for the greatest number? On the death penalty, this could go either way. If it genuinely deterred crime and protected society, a utilitarian might support it. But given the lack of clear evidence for its deterrent effect and the risk of executing innocent people, many utilitarians conclude it does more harm than good overall. Now let's move to exam tips and common mistakes. The WJACI paper for this topic typically includes 4 questions labeled A, B, C, and D. Question A is worth 2 marks and asks you to define a term, keep it precise and concise. Question B is worth 4 marks and asks you to describe or outline something. Aim for 2 developed points. Question C is worth 6 marks and asks you to explain, use 2 full PE paragraphs. Point, evidence, explanation. Do not evaluate in a C question. Question D is worth 15 marks and is the big discussion question. This is where 50% of the section marks live. Allocate around 20 to 25 minutes to this question. For the D question, you must include arguments for the statement, arguments against the statement, religious teachings from at least 2 traditions, non-religious perspectives such as humanism or utilitarianism, and a clear, reasoned conclusion. Examiners award marks for evaluation, not just listing views, but weighing them up and reaching a judgment. Common mistake number 1, confusing retribution with revenge. Always define retribution as proportional societal justice, not personal emotional payback. Common mistake number 2, saying all Christians oppose the death penalty or all Muslims support it. Always acknowledge that there are divergent views within every tradition. Use phrases like some Christians argue, and however other Christians believe. Common mistake number 3, failing to reach a conclusion in the D question. Your conclusion must be reasoned. explain why you have reached your judgment, not just what it is. Common mistake number 4, using vague language. Don't say, the Bible says punishment is wrong. Say, Matthew 18 verse 21 records Jesus instructing Peter to forgive 77 times, suggesting that mercy should take precedence over retribution. Now for our quickfire recall quiz. Cover your notes and see how many you can answer. Question 1. What is the difference between a crime and a sin? Question 2. Name the 4 aims of punishment. Question 3. What does the Latin phrase lex talionis mean, and which traditions reference it? Question 4. What is diya in Islamic law? Question 5. Which parable illustrates the Christian principle of forgiveness and reformation? Question 6. Name 1 argument for and 1 argument against the death penalty from a religious perspective. Question 7. What does the acronym PEE stand for in exam technique? Pause the podcast now and try to answer those from memory. The act of retrieving information, rather than just rereading it, is one of the most powerful revision techniques supported by cognitive science. Every time you successfully recall something, you strengthen that memory trace. Let's wrap up. Crime and punishment is a topic that rewards students who can think critically, apply multiple perspectives, and write with precision. The key things to take away from today are: know your 4 aims of punishment cold, be able to distinguish crime from sin, understand that every religious tradition has internal diversity, always include non-religious perspectives in your D answers, and never forget your conclusion. The quotes you absolutely must have memorized are "Eye for an eye" from Exodus 21 verse 24, "Turn the other cheek" from Matthew 5 verse 39, and "Forgive 77 times" from Matthew 18 verse 21 to 22. These 3 quotes alone can be applied across multiple sub-questions and will earn you credit in almost any answer on this topic. You've got this. Good luck in your exam. Now go and test yourself one more time before you move on to your next topic. See you in the next episode.